What the Cluck, episode 75. We're going to talk about getting started with chicks. Hi there, and welcome to this episode of What the Cluck, a podcast devoted to keeping chickens for fun and self-sufficiency. I'm Matt from Frugal Chicken, and in this episode, we're going to get down and dirty about baby chicks. Now, before we get started, this episode is sponsored by Manipro Poultry, and I've partnered with Manipro because they have the best chicken products on the market. Now, this episode is all about baby chicks, and as you probably have guessed, Manipro has the best baby chick starter out there. Now, their baby chick starter is a non-GMO organic crumble. You always want to make sure that you get the crumbles for the baby chicks to make sure that they can actually eat them. And of course, non-GMO organic is perfect for baby chicks. I am going to get chicks this spring. We're going to buy quite a few different breeds for our farm, and I will rely on Manipro's non-GMO organic chick starter to make sure that they have a healthy start. So if you're new to chickens or you're going to get chicks this spring, the next time that you're in the feed store, go ahead and grab a bag of Manipro's non-GMO organic chick starter. Those are the crumbles. And you can be sure that your baby chicks are getting what they need to lead a happy, healthy life. You can catch up with Manipro on the website at www.manipro.com. Now let's get on to our episode, which is all about having baby chicks, making sure that they're raised healthy, and everything that you need to get started. And it is kind of the start of chick season. You know, chick season starts officially, you know, in May in our area pretty much, but we all know that this is the pre-season for chicks, right? So maybe you've ordered your chicks, maybe you're trying to pick out what you want from the catalog, but regardless of the breed that you get, there are certain things that you do need to have on hand. And I am very particular when it comes to certain things when it comes to baby chicks, such as what you feed them, heat lamps or not heat lamps, and we're going to get all into all of that. So first, let's talk about what your chicks need to eat. There are a lot of options out there. I do get lots of questions all the time about what I feed. So what I feed baby chicks is I actually feed them a medicated chick starter. So the reason I go with medicated chick starter, and I do get a little bit of get under fire sometimes about this, but I believe pretty strongly in this. I do believe that the baby chicks do best when they're given a medicated chick starter. And you can go with a non-medicated, that's fine. Totally up to you. But let's first clear up what the difference between medicated and non-medicated is. So medicated chick starter has something called amprolium in it. What that is it helps the chicks develop a resistance to parasites that are naturally found in the soil. It's not an antibiotic. Okay, it doesn't work like that. Antibiotics don't work against parasites, so it's not an antibiotic. What it is it's something that helps them build up a resistance to these parasites found in the soil, and it helps them avoid coccidiosis, which is actually something that can kill them. What happens is baby chicks don't have the same natural defenses that hens have, so the parasites get in them, they start breeding, and the chicks basically can't process food, and they end up dying. So I have had that happen, and it can even happen with adult chickens. So I like to give my baby chicks the best start possible by just giving them medicated chick starter. Of course, if you don't want to give them medicated chick starter, that's fine. Chicks that have been raised with hens, so they have a mother hen that has been, you know, showing them the ropes and taking care of them, they don't really need the medicated chick starter. They're able to get through their mother. They're able to get, and just by being outside, they're able to get some of the natural resistances built up. But if you're going to keep your chicks inside, if they're not with a mother hen, that's just my advice. I always go with the medicated chick starter. Now, when it comes to your chick starter, you definitely want to make sure that you're using something that is specific for chicks, not like a layer feed, not something else. I always tell people just to go with a chick starter. The reason why is that baby chicks, when they're born, you know, when they're younger, they have very specific nutritional requirements, and it's very easy to not get them the right nutrients that they need, and then they grow up and they can't survive because they're basically not getting their basic nutritional needs met. So in this case, you know, for adults, I have recipes on the blog and everything where you can make your own layer feeds. But for baby chicks, I always tell people just go with one that's from a manufacturer. You don't have to. I'm not going to come to your house and tell you it's wrong. But this is just my suggestion because these companies go through a lot of testing. They go and work with PhDs to just make sure that the chicks are getting everything that they need. The other thing is when you do make your own chick starter, you're going to have to grind it up. Chicks can't eat pellets. They can't eat large, you know, pieces of food the way that adult chickens can. They don't have, the beak isn't big enough, and they don't have the digestive system that's able to really handle it. That's just my recommendation. Go with at least an 18% protein chick starter, and you're going to be pretty comfortable. And it's just, it's worth just going this direction just so that you can be sure that they're getting what they need. Okay. And then once they become pullets and young roosters, you can go ahead and transition them to your own feed or to whatever else you want to feed them. But during the weeks of week one, you know, for the day that they're born until they're about 16 weeks old, I really do recommend just going with a chick starter. Now, the other thing that you can do, and what I always do, is I always give the chicks the apple cider vinegar, the homemade organic apple cider vinegar. I always give them that from the time that they're born. So when they come to me, or if they're incubated here and they're born here, the first water that they get from me always has the ACV in it. The reason for that is because the lactobacillus in it will help them develop good gut flora in their digestive systems. And we've actually been able to reduce our death rate by just providing the ACV. What I do is I put 1 tablespoon of vinegar in 1 gallon of water, and then just go ahead and feed that jug to the chicks. So again, it's just a really good way to make sure that they're getting the basic things that they need in order to be healthy as they grow up. And then once, you know, as we go along, I'll probably put it in there, you know, once every 2 or 3 days, just to make sure that they still have it in their system. You know, as they grow up, you just want to continue to make sure that their gut flora is as healthy as possible, and the ACV helps you do that. One question I do get is, should you ferment chick feed? You can. I don't. I just want to make sure that they are actually, you know, getting it into their systems and eating it. Sometimes, you know, the chickens, they can object to the wet feed. The other thing about it is that chicks, you know, they're not, they get dirty very easily. So let's put that right. They get dirty very easily. And with the wet fermented feed, it can get on the feathers, it can pack it in, then they have a hard time staying warm. So I just stick with plain chick starter, give them the fermented stuff in the apple cider vinegar, and you know, you're good to go. If you want to ferment the feed, you can do that. I have fans who do that, that's fine. For the baby chicks though, I just don't do it. For the adults, yes. For the baby chicks, no. Give them the apple cider vinegar. Now the next thing that you're going to have to worry about is heat. So baby chicks, they have the down on them, but they can't control their body temperature as easily as an adult chicken can, because the down does something, but it doesn't do a whole lot like feathers do. So you're going to have some sort of heat source. Ideally, when the chicks are born for the first week, you want them at about 90 to 95 degrees. I have gone less than that and been okay, but for the sake of this discussion, we're going to stick with the rule of thumb, which is 90 to 95 degrees the first week. Then you can decrease every 5 degrees every week after that. So week 2, you do like 85 to 90 degrees. Week 3 is 80 to 85 degrees, and so on. And you want to do this until, you know, about 75 degrees or until they're fully feathered. So they'll probably be fully feathered probably about week 10. So you kind of want to make sure that, you know, you keep the heat kind of up until they actually have all their feathers. That will just help ensure that they are healthy and that, you know, they're able to stay warm enough. If they're not warm enough, if you see them huddling together and they're cold, they're cold, obviously, and they're not going to eat and they're not going to drink because they're going to be huddling together to stay warm. The way that you know that chicks are warm enough is, what I personally do is I actually put a digital thermometer in there. Yeah, they're going to poop on it. That's fine. Just go ahead and clean it. I do that just to take out the guesswork, basically. If you don't want to use that, the way that you'll know is if they're just happily walking around, doing their chick thing. If they're huddled together, they're cold. If they are scattered all over the place, or if they're laying down or they're panting, then they're too hot. That's why just using the digital thermometer just makes things simple. If you follow me on the podcast, you know that I don't like heat lamps. I don't recommend them. I don't like them. If you live in certain areas, or if you want to use heat lamps, go ahead and use them. But we have not had good luck with heat lamps, and we've almost burned our house down a couple times using them. And, you know, we all know there's pictures online of coops that have been burnt to the ground because a heat lamp got knocked over. And yes, chicks can knock down heat lamps. I've had it happen. So I'm not a fan of heat lamps. What we will use, though, this year are heat plates. So I've seen a couple companies come out with these, And basically, it's some sort of a ceramic mechanism where it just emits heat. Safer than a heat lamp. It doesn't get quite as hot. It just looks like it's safer. We're testing them out this year. I haven't personally used one, but we're testing it out this year, and it just seems safer. We've also used heating pads, and those have worked out very well. You just put the heating pad on the bottom of the brooder, and the chicks can come off of it and on it as they please. Now, if you're going to go that direction, you want to use some other substrate than, like, shavings, for example. You want to give them some sort of bedding that's a little bit safer than that. Either you don't use any bedding at all, or you can put it down, you'll test it out. We have used heating pads, and those have worked out very well. But again, this year what we're going to test are the heat plates, and those are actually raised up off the ground. So if you use something like newspaper or something else, it's not quite as fire, a big of a fire hazard as, say, a heat lamp is, for example. And I'll go ahead and put in the show notes a link to the heat plate that I'm talking about. But there's one we're going to test out, and it's reasonably priced, so we're going to test it out this year, and we'll tell you guys how that goes also. Now, you're obviously also going to need a brooder. If you don't know what a brooder is, it's just something that you put the baby chicks in when after they're born. Now, you have a few different options here. You can go off and buy a big fancy brooder, or you can do what we do, and we make ours at home. What we actually use on our farm are big Tupperware bins, and the reason why is because they're easy to transport, they're easy to clean. Once the chicks are grown up, we don't need them anymore. We can use them for other things around the house, but you'll need some sort of a brooder. Now, if you do want to make your own, you can go ahead and use wood. You can use, any sort of material that you want, as long as it's safe for chickens. You're going to want to make sure, though, that it has a top on it. And the reason why is because probably about week 5 or 6, your chicks are going to start trying to fly out of the brooder. And if you're going to have them inside, you can have poop all over your house at the same time. So you're going to want to make sure it has a top. The other advantage to that is that if you do use a heat lamp, you can just rest the heat lamp on the top of the brooder. Assuming that the top of the brooder is something like hardware cloth, some sort of wire that won't catch fire. But if it is fire resistant, you can go ahead and put the heat lamp on the top of the brooder and keep things a little bit safer that way. You're going to need a top in the brooder. You're also going to need walls. The brooder's going to have to keep them safe from predators. For example, we have a cat, and I can tell you right now the cat's going to try to eat the chicks. So we're going to have a brooder that's going to keep the chicks safe from the cat. But you definitely will need a brooder. They're pretty simple to source, and they're pretty simple to make yourself. All you need is something that will contain the chicks. Now, when it comes to the amount of chicks in a brooder, you're going to hear a lot of different advice, and everybody has a different level of experience with this. I don't put more than 10 chicks in a brooder at a time. The reason for this is because we have, in the past, ordered 100 chicks, higher numbers of chicks, let's put it that way. And they will all huddle together. If they get cold in the middle of the night, they will huddle together. And then you're going to end up with squashed chicks. And it's very disgusting to have squashed chicks. Ask me how I know. So at this point, we don't put more than about 10 chicks in a brooder at any given time just to keep it safe for everybody. You can go ahead and test it out and see if a different amount works for you. That's just been our experience. So when we order large quantities of chicks, we actually have enough Tupperware bins to accommodate, 10 chicks per bin. Now, one common question that I get is, can you brood chicks and ducklings together? And the answer is yes, but I don't recommend it. So chicks and ducklings get along very well. Everybody's friends and nobody's going to hurt each other. But the problem is that ducklings are very, very messy. They poop a lot worse than chicks do. They poop more and they poop a lot worse than chicks do. And they splash in their water. Now, chicks, they have their down and they have a hard time regulating their body heat anyways. So as the ducks splash water, they also splash, shavings and particles of food on the chicks. And then it congeals to the chick's skin. And the chicks can't stay warm as easily. They have a even harder time regulating the body temperature. The other thing is that, ducks, because they do poop so much, they poop so much worse than chicks ever do. It's a lot easier for the chicks to get poop mashed into their down. So it's not so much an issue of that the chicks and the ducks will fight, that they won't get along. It's more of an issue of that it's just not a sanitary environment for chicks, and I don't think it's a safe environment for chicks. So if you're going to get both ducklings and chicks this year, my recommendation is truly to house them both separately. The ducklings will also need a heat lamp. They need a heat lamp for like probably the first 5 weeks or so. They need a heat lamp. With my ducklings, I kind of like play it by ear a little bit. But, you know, ducklings don't have quite the same difficulty as chicks do regulating the body temperature, I found. But the chicks, because the ducklings are so messy, because the chicks are more likely to get dirty, it's just not a good combination. And sometimes, you know, you get a chick that's like a little bit weaker, it's a little bit smaller, it can't run as fast as the other chicks can. And then the ducklings stomp on it, they, you know, knock it over, they step on it, and it just turns into a mess. With chicks, all chicks and one brooder, it doesn't quite happen like that. You know, the chicks can kind of navigate things a little bit better. But the ducklings, you know, they got the big feet and they're bigger than the chicks, so it can just turn very, very quickly into a disaster. Now, you're probably wondering when it's okay for the chicks to go outside. And I do have a little bit of a rule of thumb with this. We actually keep our chicks indoors. We keep them indoors until they're fairly close to fully feathered, unless it's like July and it's definitely warm enough for them to go outside. But even then, we monitor them very closely. Now, what we do is we let the chicks go outside. If it's above 80 degrees, they can go out at any time in their life. So they can go out the first week of life. They can go outside, you know, the third week of life, whatever. If it's under 80 degrees, we only put them outside when they're fully feathered, just to make sure that they'll be okay, that their digestive systems won't have problems, they won't get too cold, and that sort of thing. When we do put the chicks outside, though, we always make sure that they're in some sort of a very, very safe tractor. We don't want older chickens picking on them. We don't want a hawk to pick them off. We don't want anything to happen to them. So they're put in a isolated area inside a very, very safe brooder, a sort of a tractor thing that keeps them safe and keeps them separated from everybody else. But they can still, you know, hunt and peck around. We can move the tractor around. They can still eat grass and bugs and lay in the sun. The other thing you want to make sure, though, that you do is, one, that you provide them with food and water at all times. You should always have food and water available to chicks 24 hours a day until they're probably about 10 weeks old. The exception to that is if you're going to raise Cornish crosses, you want to take the feed away at night. Leave the water there, obviously, but take the feed away at night, because the Cornish crosses grow so quickly that if you have it around them 24 hours a day, they're just going to eat so much that they'll just, you know, it'll just cause problems. So, but with most chicks, most breeds other than Cornish crosses, you want to have the food available to them 24 hours a day. So even when they go outside, even though they're going to be, you know, eating bugs and stuff, we still make the food and the water available. The other thing is that you want to make sure that you keep them out of the sun. So we put them in the shade, or we put most of the tractor in the shade, and then give them access to the sun only in part of it. Just make sure that they're, again, safe, that they're not being exposed to too much sun, that they don't get, you know, too hot and that sort of thing. And we also do check on them frequently. We pretty much don't leave our chicks just out there to sort of fend for themselves for 2 hours or 3 hours. We pretty much just watch them the whole time just to make sure that they're doing okay. And then, of course, if it's raining, definitely don't put them outside. You don't want them to get wet. You know, when they're fully feathered, it's okay. When they're not fully feathered, they still have the down on them. You don't want them to get wet because, again, they're going to get cold. They're going to have a hard time regulating their body heat, and they're going to have a hard time staying warm. And that just is a recipe for disaster when you have chicks. Now, once your chicks have all of their feathers, you can just go ahead and put them outside. Yeah, I probably would introduce them to the outside for short periods just to make sure that they're okay with the temperature change. But pretty much once they have feathers, you can just put them outside and they'll just be okay. You know, basically at that point, they're pretty much regular chickens. So, you know, if it's going to be really, really cold, I probably would, you know, consider bringing them in for certain periods of time, like at night, for example. But if it's like 60 degrees outside, 50 degrees outside, as long as they're fully feathered, they'll be fine. Now, the final question you probably have is, when should you introduce your chicks to your other chickens? Let's say that you have adult chickens. When do you introduce everybody? I do this, if it's hens, if I'm introducing the chicks to hens, I do it at about 12 to 16 weeks. The reason for this is that they're big enough, they can fend for themselves, or at least they're not going to be like too intimidated by a hen. When they're smaller than that, you know, it can go okay, but it can also not go okay. You know, the hens can pick at them and, you know, do the different pecking that they do to establish their pecking order. I've actually never had a hen kill a chick, but I don't want to take the chance personally. So I just wait until they're big enough, that everybody's big enough, that it's, you know, going to be okay, and that the little chicks can defend themselves. And there is going to be squawking. There is going to be fighting. There is going to be pecking order disputes. That's totally normal. If it goes on for days, if somebody's getting hurt, then it's an issue. If it's just, like, pecking at them, and that's kind of it, and they hear squawking and some feathers flying, don't worry about it. That's normal. Now, if you do have roosters, my recommendation is to wait until the chicks are 16 weeks old. They're big enough to defend themselves. They are pullets at that point. They have all their feathers, and they're big enough. Before then, we have actually had issues with roosters killing chicks when we've not waited until that 16-week mark. And these have been chicks that have been fully feathered. They're probably about 10 to 12 weeks old. They're fully feathered. We thought it was okay. But the roosters picked on the chicks and, you know, sexually assaulted them and basically used them as bait between each other. And it was just a mess. It was just a disaster. So, you know, we had chicks get scalped and they ended up dying just from the shock and the pain. So we, at this point, never introduce a chick to a coop with a rooster in it until the chicks are 16 weeks old. It just cuts down on the potential for a very bad issue. We have had really great roosters who have not given us a problem, but then we've also had the very bad roosters who, you know, were oversexed and there was a big issue and they ended up killing the chicks. So regardless of how good we think a rooster is or not, at this point in time, we just simply don't introduce the chicks until they're big enough to actually defend themselves and to fly away from a rooster. When they're younger than that, they don't quite have the experience to just run away. They just, you know, they're physically overpowered by the roosters. So that's just my word of advice. So that is the end of our podcast. I hope you've enjoyed it, and I hope it has given you an idea of how to prepare for baby chicks and how we do it on our farm. Now, I do want to encourage you to go ahead and grab a copy of my book, Chickens Naturally Raising a Sustainable Flock. This is a 150-page ebook that has 40 full-color photos and recipes, but what it also has is a week-by-week chick guide. So week-by-week telling you what temperature should be, what the chicks should eat, and all the other fun stuff that you can do. So go ahead and grab a copy of that book at thefrugalchicken.com/chickenbook. Thanks again for listening to this episode of What the Cluck, and I'll see you next time.